This is ZL2KS, ZL2KS Marlborough Branch Station, and now with the broadcast, here's Vaughan Henderson, ZL1VH.
Thanks, Jim, and good evening, everyone. As we've come to expect in the Marlborough region, the weekend weather has been a little chilly with frosty mornings, but beautiful sunny days. To report on council business, council met on Friday at the Scenic Hotel for its first face-to-face meeting since our last conference. All councillors were in attendance, including our two new central region councillors, Max Wheatley, ZL2MAX, and Malcolm Wheeler, ZL2UDF. Having reviewed the 2014 budget, I'm pleased to be able to report that we're on target. Membership renewals are at about the expected level, and my thanks to all who continue to support our National Association. Council has decided not to undertake a membership promotion this year. A major effort has gone into containing costs over the last 2 years, and despite cost increases in all our areas of operation, we have been successful both last year, as you will see from the audited accounts, and look to end up this financial year with a surplus of just under $9,000. Your council has contributed to these cost savings. Instead of having a face-to-face meeting at Wellington Airport in February, we held a one-day meeting using Skype, thus saving the association air travel and venue costs. Furthermore, councillors now only claim 50% of their accommodation cost when attending the annual conference, which the association previously met in full. The cost of producing break-in and headquarters operational overheads continue to be under close scrutiny. Most recently, after a bit of a battle with Sharp New Zealand, our photocopier suppliers, we've managed to negotiate a smaller copier with reduced costs. I can confirm that the Cordia sponsorship agreement, which gives us access to a number of well-located repeater sites, will continue through until June 2016. Subscriptions for 2015. I'm pleased to be able to advise that subscriptions for next year, 2015, will remain the same as this year. That is $99 with a $10 rebate for prompt payment. Family membership remains the same at $129, also with a $10 rebate if paid by 30 November. Overseas members pay $125 with no rebate, and the student subscription remains at $45. Core book for 2014-2015. My thanks to those branches who responded to my request for feedback on what you'd like for core book at the end of this year. From the responses I received, your preferences were fairly well divided between having a mini printed core book or just a core book on CD-ROM like we produced last year. Your council has decided that the 2014-15 core book will be a mini printed core book containing just the branch listings, AREC section listings, call sign listings, and updated repeater and beacon information. This will be in your hands along with the November-December issue of break-in. The budget for 2015. We are currently looking at a budgeted loss of about $8,000. In 2015, we have an item of extraordinary expenditure in that we have made budgetary provision of $15,000 to send our administration liaison officer, Don Wallace, ZL2TLL, to Geneva for the next World Radio Conference. Don will attend as a member of the New Zealand delegation and be an active voice promoting amateur radio, representing our interests, and trying wherever possible to ensure that where a matter affecting our amateur bands arises, the New Zealand position is supportive of the amateur service. As I said, we have a budgeted loss next year, but I'm very confident that we can turn this into a small profit at the end of next year with a little help from you all. Accompanying your subscription invoice for 2015 will be an option to make a donation specifically to help us with the cost of attending World Radio Conference 2015. You can do this by donating your subscription rebate or simply making a separate donation. With good support from you, plus savings in the budgeted cost of break-in in 2015, having the core book on CD-ROM, and careful control of our other expenditure, we can turn the budgeted loss for 2015 into a small operating surplus. Council again considered a membership promotion aimed at branches. Many of you will have seen my recent InfoLine item with details of this promotion, where branches who get a non-member to join can keep a percentage of the new member subscription for that year. Again, to help our bottom line in 2015, we would ask branches taking advantage of this promotion to retain $45 of the $99 subscription, returning $54 to headquarters along with a new member's application form. Council agreed it's now compulsory that all branches be solely responsible for payment of their repeater and beacon licences. These must be returned to the respective branch name so that radio spectrum management invoices will be sent direct to the branch repeater trustee or secretary. Please wait until October before making this change of licence ownership. If you do it earlier, you'll get a small invoice from RSM for the portion of the licence cost through to their annual invoice date in November. Since announcing this at conference, I have received strong representations from a couple of branches who would like to retain the current system whereby NZART pays these licences. Council will review this at their Monday meeting, so this may not be the final word on this matter. I'll let you know the outcome. We will continue to meet the cost of licence fees for strategic sites, such as the National System Links and the IARU HF beacons, but I would encourage those branches who own the National System equipment to consider making a donation to HQ to help cover those licence costs. I had hoped to give you details of our work on restructuring FIMTAG, but we're not quite there with the detail of this work. A new structure incorporating an operations and licensing group, plus a policy and planning group, has been approved by Council. Once more of the detail of how this will work has been finalised, I'll make sure you all have the information. The new structure will see benefits to members in the form of a faster turnaround time for repeater beacon applications, and if an application can't be processed immediately, better communication with the applicant as to the reasons why. Can I also ask that all emails be sent only to the FIMTAG Reflector email address and not to individual members of FIMTAG? As I have advised on previous broadcasts, Council is working on a new strategic plan, which is making quite good progress. 5 key areas have been identified, and Council has formed small teams, each working on one of these areas. This new strategic plan is not going to happen overnight, and is expected to take up to 5 years to come to fruition. Once we have all the action items arising from this strategy in place, we'll be coming back to you, our branches and members, because it won't happen without your support. Council are now seeking an application to appoint an officer to the position of Keeper of Milestones for our association. If you're interested, please see either Debbie or myself. Debbie ZL2DL presented a detailed written report on her trip to the Wireless Institute of Australia annual general meeting held in Brisbane a couple of weeks ago. The AREC management team were invited to speak to council later in the day and gave us an update on all AREC activities. More details about this later. We're currently renewing all our association insurances, and with new local council policies requiring clubs or branches to provide their own public liability cover, I have been making inquiries as to the feasibility of the association's insurance covering this for branches. The short answer is yes, it's possible. We'll have about a $1,200 increase in our national premium, but this cover is entirely possible, and I would be interested to know how many branches would be keen to take up this offer. Branches would be required to pay a nominal charge for this. The public liability cover will only apply to NZART members, so I hope branches will take advantage of this opportunity to encourage non-members to join the association. We will also be increasing the rural fire cover from $1 million to $2 million and the public liability cover from our current $2 million to $10 million. Finally, Council thanked Debbie ZL2DL for preparing a procedure manual that will ensure continuation of services to members. The Council meeting concluded at 5:36 p.m. Saturday morning saw another beautiful sunny day with the AGM commencing sharp at 9 a.m. Kay Hannigan, Chairman of the Marlborough Branch Conference Organising Committee, welcomed everyone to Blenheim. I then declared the meeting open, and with help from Evan Sayer, our Treasurer, and Debbie, we confirmed a quorum early so I could announce this year's very worthy recipient of life membership to the Association before the alternate program left. I asked John Walker, ZL3IB, and his wife to come forward so I could bestow this honour on John. This was received by a standing ovation by all those present. Later in the proceedings, John also received the Jumbo Godfrey Award for services to his branch. A conference photograph was taken outside the Marlborough Convention Centre where our AGM was held. On to remits. After a little discussion, remit 1 was put to the vote and was lost clearly on voices. Remit 2, with an amendment being placed to include an additional clause in our constitution, was put and carried on voices unanimously. Awards. Amateur of the Year was awarded to Rory Dean, ZL3HB, for his tireless efforts for Christchurch Branch 05 and in particular post-2000 earthquake in Christchurch, the work he has done in securing new club rooms for the branch. Another ZL1HV Jumbo Godfrey Award was presented to Joe Reed, ZL2AH, for his services to Martin Branch. Kathy Purdy, ZL2ADK, accepted this on Joe's behalf. The Rothschild Cup was once again presented to North Shore Branch 29 for 12 successful passes in the NZART amateur radio exam. North Shore Branch has received this for the past 4 years, so come on, you other branches. How about giving it a go? John Barrow, ZL3FLY, received the best examination result in the under 18 year of age category. John will receive a certificate and a dual band handheld radio sponsored by Nelson Sound. Conference 2015. As usual, we always try and confirm a host branch for the following year's annual conference. However, so far we have not had an offer for next year. I will advise as soon as we've been able to find a branch to host conference for 2015. General business. Prior to the AGM, I received an email from ZL2DW to include discussion in general business regarding radio spectrum management involvement when emitted rubbish causes amateur radio interference. After considerable discussion, it was agreed that providing amateurs are able to supply RSM with all relevant information of timings and location, they are more than happy to assist us in determining the cause. With the meeting drawing to a close much earlier than anticipated, Debbie ZL2DL gave us a brief overview of her trip to the WI AGM in Australia 2 weeks ago. To clarify the matter of making recordings of Skype meetings of council available to members, I have declared at the meeting that these will not be recorded and therefore are not available to members. However, this could change with a new president. Minutes of all council meetings are available on our website. Should anyone wish to raise concerns, they need only contact their local councillor for clarification on topics discussed. I will look at making the minutes a little more readable when we post them on the website in the future. I had great pleasure thanking Sharon Dawson, ZL1TJU, Managing Director of ICOM New Zealand, for her continued support of our association. Once again, ICOM had a trade display at our conference, and her ongoing assistance to all amateurs throughout New Zealand is very much appreciated. Sharon is very knowledgeable and has an easy personal approach which makes doing business with her very easy. This year Sharon brought Theo, VK3AP, Senior Account Manager from ICOM Australia to conference, and as you'll hear shortly, he shared much of his knowledge and expertise with us over the weekend. Before close of business, I also voiced a special vote of thanks to our business manager, Debbie Morgans at L2DL, for her sometimes difficult and lonely role as sole employee of the association. The meeting applauded this acknowledgement. As is customary, the announcement of the Stirrers Award was very humorous, as our Vice President, Stuart ZL2TW, had compiled a list of possible worthy recipients. This year, Kathy Purdy, ZL2ADK, received the award for her comment that a lot of men would have got their licence the same way. Putting this in context, it was suggested that many of the YLs and XYLs managed to pass their amateur radio licence by simply guessing the right answer. I guess there's been a few OMs that have done the same thing. The meeting closed well ahead of schedule at 12:30 p.m. On Saturday afternoon, we had the AREC Forum. Jeff Sayers at L4JS and his team updated us on several key areas. The close cooperation with NZSAR continues, as does the current funding for the next 3 years. Landsar are making greater use of AREC as backup technical support for the 350 Landsar Tait portable radios in operational use with Landsar. AREC now have an agreement with the Department of Conservation regarding AREC use of DOC VHF radio frequencies. Work on greater involvement with civil defence is continuing slowly, and AREC sections are invited to make use of the SAR engagement document when approaching your local civil defence organisation. A substantial update to the training manual is nearly ready for release, along with training material available which can be downloaded from the new AREC website. Google AREC.today to have a look at their new website. Further improvements to the AREC organisation, including the new website, have been made, the ZK callsign policy has been adopted, and thanks to Gareth ZL3VP, audited financial control of the AREC funds, along with a new purchasing system, is working very well. Today, Sunday, there was a lot to do as I tried to attend part or all of the various AGMs and forums. The WIRO forum was well attended, and all appointed positions in WIRO remain the same, with new committee members Bev ZL3OV, Topsy ZL2LS, and Jeanette ZL3DYL joining the group. ZL2LS has now undertaken the role of bulletin editor. The WIRO annual subscription will remain the same, and a link for WIRO, although still under construction, can now be found on the NZART website, thanks to Alan ZL1AMW. WIRO announced the results of the Thelma Super Award. In the YL section, first place went to Nyeri Jury, ZL1UJT, with 2,079 points. Second place went to Rosemary Boucher, ZL1RO, with 864 points. And in third place, Lynette MacDonald, ZL1LL, with 846 points. In the OM section, first was Wayne Fisher, ZL2AYB, with 2,968 points. And second, Wayne Johnson, ZL2OZ, with 2,124 points. The Rose Bowl was awarded to Margaret Brewerton, ZL1MB, for her considerable contributions to WIRO. And just an advance notice that WIRO Activity Week will take place from Saturday the 21st of September to the 27th of September from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. So look out for those WIRO ladies and make a contact with them. The AMSAT AGM. 50 members and guests attended the AGM of AMSAT New Zealand. The Executive Committee for 2014 remains unchanged, as does donations set at $20. Following the AGM, Ian Ashley, ZL1AOX, gave his usual update and presentation on progress with KiwiSat, which is now flight ready and awaiting launch. An opportunity for a launch on a Chinese Long March rocket is being investigated. At the OTC AGM, Stuart Watchman, ZL2TW, chaired the meeting, with Jim ZL2BHF acting as secretary. All office holders of OTC remain unchanged. The Montgomery Cup was awarded to Phil Holliday, ZL3PAH, for his article in the November-December 2013 issue of Break-In regarding communication issues on a Falklands-bound warship. The SPAM AGM saw all current officers reconfirmed in their positions, with 8 members being present. A unanimous vote of thanks was recorded to Martin, ZL3CK, for his production of the SPAM newsletter. The SPAM committee have undertaken the task of updating their information on the NZART website. Steve Heyman, ZL1TPH, will liaise with the SPAM news editor for future break-in column articles. Having dispensed with business, the attendees then proceeded to look at the restoration of a Collins 30K5 transmitter, a heavy metal project. Going on to forums, Sharon Dawson was joined by Theo Kalkandis, VK3AP, the Senior Account Manager for ICOM Australia. Theo presented a forum on D-Star myths and legends, latest trends from ICOM, and a further very interesting presentation on HF radio, and particularly its use in Australia. Other interesting and noteworthy forums included 3D printing, presented by Gerard van Antwerpen, ZL2GVA, Media Industry Big Data Technology Challenges, presented by Wayne Parker, ZL2AIE, Near Vertical Incident Skywave Operation, How to Use It or Avoid It, from Richard Smart, ZL4FZ, and a behind-the-scene look at the official broadcast with our own Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF. Other forums were Software Defined Radio with Andrew Barron, ZL3DW, Regulatory Matters, presented by Don Wallace, ZL2TLL, the Inter-Island High Voltage DC Link from Stuart Watchman, ZL2TW, Sealed Lead Acid Batteries and Portable Dipoles from Richard Gamble, ZL1BNQ, Christchurch Quake Contesters Group from Phil, ZL3PAH, and Mixing Crowdsourcing with Amateur Radio, a look at the Cyclone Lucy experience from Daniel Ayers, ZL1DFA. As the day drew to a close, we prepared ourselves for the final dinner and get-together of conference weekend. My sincere thanks to Marlborough Branch 22 for hosting our 2014 conference. It was well organised, the ladies enjoyed a great alternative program, and we've all had a great weekend, so thank you very much, Marlborough Branch 22, and it's good night from me.
Thank you, Vaughan, the President of NZRT, Vaughan Henderson, ZL1VH, with the NZRT Conference official broadcast, tonight made by Marlborough Branch Station, ZL2KS. The next official broadcast of NZRT will be made on the last Sunday of this month at 8 p.m, and the MP3 web version of tonight's broadcast will be available this Tuesday evening. So until next time, ZL2BHF with ZL1VH and the team here in Marlborough wishing you a very good night.